Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to VMB, the voice of Manhattan business, brought to you by the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Bruce Hurwitz. You can find me on the web at hsstaffing.com. I hope everyone will be able to join me at noon next Wednesday, when my guest will be Thorsten Schmidt from Schmidt LLC Attorneys at Law. To learn about all future shows, please visit our website, thevoiceofmanhattanbusiness.com. And please remember to visit the events page on the Chamber's website, manhattancc.org, to learn about upcoming events on the Chamber's calendar. I am delighted to be joined today by Marilyn Dolan from Integrated Printing and Graphics. We will be discussing the haptic brain and the science of touch. Please remember the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 805-243-1301 and dial 1 so I know you have a question. Marilyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you so much for having me on again. It's a real pleasure and it's a wonderful benefit for the members of the chamber to have this. This is just great. Thank you a bunch.
Well, thank you. Now, as always, tell us about yourself and your company.
Sure. So my company is Integrated Printing and Graphics, is an upscale outsourcing firm. We help companies with their marketing collateral. We collaborate with clients, helping them create beautiful and noteworthy marketing pieces. Over the years, now people do not have the staff to do that, to do the research of the paper, what new printing techniques there are, what the postal regulations do. We take care of that. Back in 1999 is when I started the company, 18 years ago, and I started in the printing industry selling direct mail to large institutions. So it would be envelopes. It would be business forms and the like. And I did that for a long time, and I loved to sell, but it didn't fill the creativity in me. So I then went to high-end printing, and I learned how to print fashion and cosmetics and all that wonderful touchy-feely stuff that we enjoy. So in 99, when I wanted to go off on my own, I called the company Integrated Printing and Graphics. A little boring name, but it does say, it said then, and it still says now, I was integrating the two types of print. And then, you know, in 99, like most entrepreneurs, you decide that you want to do things differently, you want to have some control. I wanted control over who my vendors were, what type of quality, and what type of business I thought would be a good fit for me. So here we are. In this 18 years later, and I'm still doing it and still loving it.
You know, I chuckled when you said postal regs, because there are two things I always advise people to outsource. They don't want to do it themselves. One is payroll.
Right.
The other is mailings, especially bulk mailings, nonprofit. I worked for nonprofits for many years, and the postal regs were unbelievable. And, you know, we would send out, I remember once we sent out a newspaper. We had a community newspaper. We sent it out every month. We had done it for years. And all of a sudden, we get a call from the post office that they're not going to send it out. Why? Because there was an ad in it. It was either an insurance company or a travel agency. And you can't send out a newspaper, bulk rate, nonprofit, if it has that type of an ad in it. We've been doing it for years.
And
so,
someone noticed it, yeah.
Somebody finally noticed it. So
Well, I say,
you know,
and
the
I
postal
have...
Postal regs.
Yeah. Stephen Covey said many years ago, begin with the end in mind. And this is when I get a project, who are we mailing it? Who is getting it? So we work backwards, which has, saves us a lot of problems in the long run.
Absolutely. Now, our topic is the haptic brain and the science of touch. So my first question, which is a two-parter, is obvious. What is the haptic brain, and what do you mean by the science of touch?
Okay, haptics, the definition of haptics, is any form of interaction involving touch. Haptics is the science of touch. We have two types of nerves. We have motor and we have sensory. And we know motor. Motor is movement, picking something off the floor, exercise. The sensory part of our brain, which remarkably is 70% of our brain, is about feel. And that is the haptic brain. So we know instinctively when we touch something, we react differently than when we look at something on a screen. It's a wonderful reaction, or hopefully it's a wonderful reaction. And scientifically, we know this now because Baylor University has done a major study, and 24% of what we touch and feel, we remember more than just seeing it on a screen. So if you're talking about marketing, that's a big deal. Sappy papers. One of the ways that I learn about what's new in the industry is going to the big printing shows. And I went to a printing show last year in Chicago. And Sappy Papers, which is one of the fabulous paper companies worldwide, did a study with Baylor about the haptic brain. And Dr. David Eagleman, who wrote the study, printed a book, it's beautiful, A Communications Guide to the Neuroscience of Touch. And neuroscience is pretty hot these days. Scientists can now see what part of our brains get activated and stimulated when we pick up something that we like. For instance, I just bought an iPad, a new iPad, from Apple. And when you open the packaging, it's so incredible. And everybody thinks, wow, this is really a smart company. This is a very cool company because everything they do works together. So when I touch this beautiful packaging, it reflects in my brain. Many years ago, I got a little blue box from Tiffany. And those of us that have received them, you probably haven't received it, Bruce. But you maybe
no, I'm laughing. I will tell you why I'm laughing. I used to be the director of development for a nonprofit in the Bronx, and every mm-hmm. year we would have a gala either at the Plaza or the Waldorf, and mm-hmm. we would give the honorees a gift from Tiffany, and it would be a a pewter bowl engraved. The engraving mm-hmm. cost more than the bowl. So we gave the gift, and the honoree didn't take the box. He picked up the bowl, but he left the box. So I took the box, and I said to a colleague, I'm going to keep this because mm-hmm. you women mm-hmm. always react like Pavlov's dogs to the blue of the Tiffany package. So when I have a girlfriend, I'll go out, buy something, put it in the blue box.
Bruce, that's the worst.
She goes, tells the honoree's wife what I said, and all of a sudden she comes over with a big smile on her face and says, I want the box back. So that's why I was
laughing. Yeah, I don't blame
her.
Yeah, because she wants that's to, right. We women stand together.
I should have kept my big mouth shut, but I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, that's okay. But, it is that little blue box. It's just so memorable worldwide. It's just they're brilliant. So we try and do that at my company. We try and every printed piece that we mail, and we do it regularly, are our attempts to stimulate the haptic brain. We have our holiday card that we just sent out. It's memorable. One of my clients, I said to him the other day, remember that mailing we did a couple of years ago? Is it one of my mailings? He said, are you kidding? I save every one of your mailings. I have a file for your mailings. So that actually is our niche. So that when you get something from IPG, you know it's our brand, And actually, somebody said at my holiday card, it looks just like you. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. But anyway, that's you know, what we do to vis-a-vis haptic brain, and it seems to work for us.
One thing you said that surprised me, and if you don't know the answer, that's fine, because I know this is coming out of left field. If I heard you correctly, you said 70% of the brain is dealing with touch?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I always understood that our most powerful sense is the sense of smell. That's what we remember most. So,
what I have read in this is that is not so.
Really?
It is, because from the very beginning, from when you're born, and the touch of your mother, touch is something that we keep, that we never lose, unless there's a physical ailment. But touch is supposedly, what I've read, the most important of all the senses.
You know, this is funny. You know, I'm going to wait because we're going to get to this in a minute or two. I'll come back to what I wanted to say. In the meantime, is there a difference between touch and feel?
I think so, yeah. I think touch is physical. And when we touch something and we experience through our nerve endings and we get a feeling. And, you know, the nerve endings in our skin, and skin is our largest organ. So we touch something, the reaction is we then feel something. And feel is emotion, touch is physical. So I think that's the difference. I don't see them as the same.
Okay. I read religiously every month Fast Company and Inc.
Mm-hmm.
magazines.
Sure, great.
They're
great
sister publications.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And coincidentally, an hour ago, I just got this month's issue of Fast Company.
Me too.
Now, Fast Company, there you go. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can, therefore, if you have it in front of you, you can help me. The cover of Inc. is glossy. It just feels glossy. It doesn't feel special. It's just a nice feel. The cover of Fast Company, it has, the only way I can describe it is like really bad sandpaper. Really fine. It's not smooth.
It's a fairly new treatment. And we just did it actually for a client. We were doing a custom binder for Phoenix, the airport in Phoenix. And we used this treatment, this coating, and it's called sand. And that's what this is on the fast.
That's
cover.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So it is a.
And
so
I don't
if
like
you
it.
Notice on the other side, there is no. On the inside cover, it's smooth.
The inside cover is nice and smooth, yeah.
Yeah.
The inside cover is how Inc. magazine feels.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so this is something, and I'm with you. I mean, I know people, one of my clients, there's another treatment called Soft Touch. It's been around, you've seen it. It feels velvety. And we were doing a magazine for them, and the director of marketing came in, new director of marketing, said, I hate that. I mean, here it feels like velvet. She hated it. It made her feel creepy. Yeah. So it's really different strokes.
You know, you can't please everybody. Now, just so that the nice people at Fast Company don't get upset, it's a great magazine. I've been reading it. It's got to be over 10 years now, cover to cover. I just don't like holding it.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, you should tell them. It is a great magazine. I'm just looking at the cover here.
Hopefully I just
did. All these people I want to read, Inspiring Business Lessons to Navigate the Year Ahead. We can all use that.
I'm looking at the cover, and it's this month is Find Your... Oh, yeah, that's what you're talking about. Find Your Purpose, 175 Inspiring Lessons. You are correct. Mm-hmm. Now, my question, which goes back to what we were discussing before. You know, our listeners know, I'm an executive recruiter and career counselor. So I want to begin with an analogy. Someone comes to me, a candidate for an employer or a career counseling client. The first thing we do is we shake hands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apropos what we were saying before about smell. If they come in and they reek of perfume or cologne or aftershave. This is going to be a really short interview because I'm going to give them the 5 minutes bums rush because I cannot stand being in the – I literally cannot stand being with them for more than a few minutes.
I'm with you, yeah.
But if they come over to me and we shake hands and they give me a limp handshake, what I call a dead fish handshake, it's a turnoff. But I'm still going to interview them. And I might say, you know, when you get the, if you get the interview, make sure it's a firm handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a firm handshake, then I immediately, I can't say I like the person, but I don't have anything against them. If it's a limp handshake, I have something against them. Now, for a woman, it's different. When a woman comes over to me and gives me the dead fish handshake, I kind of in my DNA expect it, and I've asked men this, and they say, yeah, when you shake hands with a woman, you expect a limp handshake. When you get a firm handshake from a woman, you like it, you're kind of surprised, and it's, you're saying, hey, she's got confidence. It's a, more of a positive than it is with a man, because with a man, you expect it. If you are a man.
Right.
Now, is it there? Is gender also a factor when it comes to touching material, collaterals, marketing collaterals, when you're touching paper? Is there a difference in the reaction that a man would have to that of a woman?
Oh, I have no idea. I have clients that... that are men that just want to see the new treatments, that love it. I don't have an answer to that. I think that if someone sees something beautiful, I think a man, when he sees the Apple packaging, he would probably love it as much as I do. I don't know. Nobody ever asked me that before. But I want to get back to the handshakes.
Yeah, please.
They didn't. The women that have the weak handshake did not grow up in my family. My We had to practice at an early age, I'm talking early, we had to practice shaking hands, how do you do, nice to meet you, making sure that our handshake was not too firm but just right. So people need a firm handshake. For me, it's as though I meet you at a networking event, Bruce, and you say, hi, I'm Bruce Hurwitz. That's a weak handshake to me. The same type of thing that it shows that you're not comfortable. You don't have self confidence. So the handshake is really important, man or woman.
And it's your first tactile and possibly your only tactile connection to the person. You're not going to be hugging them.
Hopefully.
So the only time you're going to come into physical contact. I mean, there are huggers. There are people who are shoulder patters, we had a colleague who did not like to be touched, and it was made clear to us, don't touch her. You know, shake hands, yes, but she does not like to be touched, and we don't, you know, it's just her thing. We have no idea why. I was very friendly with her, and I was walking behind her, and she started to take a few steps back. And I reacted just as you know I would have reacted, and everybody else hearing this. I just put up my hand to touch her back so she wouldn't walk into me and I wouldn't walk into her. And she jumped 6 feet. She cringed.
That's a poor thing.
And don't know why. Don't want to guess why. I immediately apologized. I said I didn't want to bump into you. And she goes, no, I understand that it's okay, but her face, she was pale, and it was something. But the handshake, you got to do.
You just have
in
to
any
do
event.
It.
Yeah. And your parents raised you correctly.
They did. They also taught us how to waltz. They thought it was important that we knew how to dance. That's just an aside, but I think it's hilarious going back that far. Yeah.
Next time you're in Vienna, I'm sure it'll pay off.
Yes.
Now, just a reminder, you're listening to the Voice of Manhattan Business. My guest today is Marilyn Dolan from Integrated Printing and Graphics. We are discussing the haptic brain and the science of touch. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 805-243-1301 and dial 1 so I know you have a question. Please remember, the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. Marilyn, let's take two examples. What's the difference between a business card printed on onion paper and one printed on cardboard? And let's assume that the size and content are identical in every other aspect except for the weight of the paper.
Mm-hmm. I think the weight of the paper is super important, unless the onion skin is part of their brand or something like that, which I wouldn't go through, I wouldn't agree with. But another study that was done at Baylor about quality, that quality really counts. So there was a study that was done. There were three groups. They each had the same brochure, but one was on a high gloss, very beautiful paper. One was on an inexpensive uncoated, and one was online. It was the same brochure, and they read it, and they went back to the subjects a week later. The brochure that was on the high-end paper was remembered 3 to 1 more than the other two. So quality does matter. So I don't know about business cards. I know my business card is really beautiful, and everybody that I give it to comments on it. So, but I'm in the printing business, so that's my calling card. But I certainly think, especially these days when you can buy inexpensive cards online to go to VistaPrint or Moo or something, there is no excuse to have not a great-looking business card with some heft. I think it's really important.
It's funny. One thing that absolutely infuriates me, and you know, we're both on the board. I do the podcast. I'm also what we call an ambassador. I get business cards from members all the time. They say they want to be on the podcast. I'll send them, or I'll try to send them the application, and I go to look at their business card, and the font for the contact information is like 5.5 or 6 point, and I can't read it. And I've got to do a balancing act between the glasses on to read what's on the card and the glasses or the glasses off to read what's on the card and the glasses on to be able to type the address. So there's got to be a balance between aesthetics, because it looks pretty, I'm not saying it doesn't, but you got to be able to see it. You have to be able to read it.
Right. No, you're right. I'm going through this now with a client, and it's a rebrand, and some of the names are very long. You know, we live in an international city, and some of the names are long. And this just happened this morning, actually. We did proofs, and the type is too small. And what they gave us is, you know, we gave them what they gave us, and we have to do a whole new design now because of this. And also, for business cards, people have so much on their business cards now. So it's an ongoing issue. I know what you're talking about, and certainly if there's not a lot of content on the card, then the type should be bigger. But we set up templates, and there are 6 lines of type on a little business card. So it's a struggle, but I get what you're saying. I'm dealing with it this afternoon, actually. So
I actually had that with one of my clients. I wanted her to get business cards because she would go out. She was unemployed. She would go to networking events. I said, you have to have a business card. She was Indian. And her first name and her last name were very long. And I said, well, maybe put your first name on top and your last name underneath. And then she said, well, what do I do for the email address? And I said, well, use your initials and then the, you know, change it, whatever. She goes, well, I have my own website. Well, her website was her entire name.com. So it was her first initial at, and then a thousand letters.com. And it just didn't, you know, she had to put in a hyphen, but a hyphen is actually a readable character for an email address.
Mm-hmm.
So it was impossible. I forget how it.
I mean, and if they had thought about it, the investment firm that I'm talking about right now, earlier, because of the long names, maybe they would have gone with first initial dot and the name or something like that. But this is a problem. We're going to have to redesign the whole card, I think. So,
what's the difference between matte and glossy?
Well,
I'm talking about matte and glossy paper.
Right. There are two. Okay, this is probably more information than you need. There is matte paper. People refer to matte paper as uncoated, but in actuality, matte paper is a coated sheet. So what I would say, if your question is coated or uncoated. So matte is, so for instance, there is a matte coated sheet, and that's how we in the printing industry refer to it. So if you're talking about matte/uncoated, it's uncoated paper without a coating on it.
Okay. The glossy is obviously coated.
Right.
The reason that I asked the question is that there are times when you want to be able to write something on a business card.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's glossy on both sides, you can't do it.
Right, it's smudges.
So, for example, mine, the front is glossy and the back is uncoated.
Mm-hmm.
For that very reason.
Right.
Do you feel that that can impact on the person's reaction to the card if it's coated on one side and uncoated on the other?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend coated on one side and coated on the other side because aesthetically it's not something that I would recommend. You said the same thing.
You said coated on one side and not coated.
Uncoated on.
You want both coated or both uncoated?
Exactly.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just think aesthetically, and maybe because I'm in the business, I know that when it's coated on coated on one side and uncoated on the other, it could be it's not very expensive paper.
It's funny. You're reminding me. I always wanted to hear Beethoven's Ninth played by a real symphony.
Mm-hmm.
So I got tickets and I went, and I'm sitting beside this gentleman, and during the first part before the intermission, he doesn't say a word. And then as soon as the intermission starts, he starts complaining. And he says, they messed up here, they messed up there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it? And I said, I'm not as knowledgeable as you are. It sounded perfectly all right to me.
I'm sorry, you know? That I told
so
him that.
Sometimes... Go ahead.
Good. I want to get back to the difference in the papers, though. There are beautiful uncoated papers. I can show you brochures that will just knock your socks off because the paper companies have such beautiful papers. And, for instance, we're doing a test right now for one of my clients. They're doing a direct mail postcards. We're sending postcards for the next 12 months every month. And I have the design. I said, so what type of paper do we want this on? Do we want it on gloss? Do we want it on silk? Do we want it with a texture? And right, I'm receiving this afternoon 5 different types of papers, printing on 5 different types of paper. And the substrate means so much. The paper is unbelievable how much it means to the attractiveness of a job or and what you want for the job.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question that I wasn't planning on asking, but I know you won't have a problem with it because I read your brochure, which you were kind enough, or your newsletter, I should say, which you were kind enough to send me, and which is coded on both sides. we're talking here about paper. It's 2017. Everything is digital.
Yeah.
You're
not
old
so.
School. Why is old school good? forgetting now about business cards, because
right.
a business card
I'll give
is
you,
a business card.
I'll give you a great example. L.L. Bean, a few years ago, decided that we're going to stop their catalogs. Mm-hmm. And they did. And they lost $2 billion. So that's a number. So what people have found out is that we have to multi-channel. We have to do banner ads. We have to do emails, email blasts, and we have to print. And we have to do it all, Facebook, all of that social media stuff. Because Nordstrom did a study. When you pull all of them together, Nordstrom's multi-channel prospects and clients bought four times more than just one channel.
Interesting.
So, yeah. And, you know, people, for instance, my holiday card, who sends holiday cards these days? How is my holiday card was so noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's right. I'm a big believer
another,
in old school.
I have another stat here that I think is great. In the direct mail industry, the not-for-profit direct mail industry, they mm-hmm. get between 60 and 80% of their revenue from direct mail.
Correct.
Yeah. So the print is still very big. I mean, it's going down. We took a major hit the last 10 years, but now it's inching up again because the electronic media is so overpowering, so exhausting, mm-hmm. that you get the Fast Company on your desk, you get the New Victory Theater, a great client of mine, a wonderful brochure that everybody remembers because it's so beautiful. It works. Direct mail works.
I had a commercial, really residential property management company as a client. I found staff for them. And I enjoyed mm-hmm. working with them. I enjoyed the industry. So I did an experiment. I sent out 50 emails to, you know, just blind to whatever the info at, whatever, mm-hmm. Introducing myself. And I sent 50 postcards
mm-hmm.
to just
to
the name
the
of the company.
People?
And, yeah, well, no, different.
Different. Okay.
I did 50 to one, 50 to the other. Interesting question that you asked. I didn't think of doing it that way. But I sent 50 emails, 50 postcards. I got no responses from the emails,
mm-hmm.
and I got a few calls from the postcards.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, it would have been better to do both, to do the...
But then how would I have known what they were responding to if I'd asked them?
Right, but if you were, so you did a test, but
if this was
a rollout, that was a test, but if it was a rollout, then you would do both. And you can time it to the email blast will go out when they receive their postcard.
Yeah. I think the technical term for what I did is an A-B test. Do something one way, do something the other way, and mm-hmm. see what happens.
Right.
Talk to us about font size and color. And I mean the font, the size of the font and the color of the font.
Yeah, I mean it depends on it really depends on the piece. We're doing an invitation right now. The design is just huge fonts. That's it. I mean it has to be legible. I mean if it's a white paper, then it just has to be legible. If it's a fabulous brochure, it's really subjective. I mean, this is what we're going through now with these business cards. It's killing me, actually. We're doing so many tests.
Card has to be identical to the brochure, which has to be identical to the stationery, which has to be identical to the envelope, which has to be identical to everything else.
It's your brand. Yeah, and if you want your employees... to live the brand, they have to know about it. They have. We just did a brochure, two brochures. One for it's a financial company for their external brochure. Beautiful, and we did a beautiful internal brochure. I mean, it's an international company, so that everybody in the company knows the rebrand and lives it and appreciates it. So you have to do internal and external selling.
It's
but
funny.
The color,
Go ahead.
The Pantone color, depending on the substrate, there is years ago I saw.
Excuse me. Depending on the what?
The paper.
What?
Substrate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's.
Yeah. So there was an ink company did it, Flint Ink, and they had a Pantone color, a red color, and they printed 12 different on 12 different types of paper, and the colors were totally different. So you can't say, oh, I want to print this red color on this uncoated sheet and then print it on the coated sheet because the colors will look totally different.
Understood.
I
forget who it was. I think it was a restaurant, a high-end restaurant, and they had business cards that were silver, and the color of the lettering was also silver.
Ooh.
And you had to play with it in the light to be able to see what was written on it. And they had just been printed out, and I said to the owner, asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, I can't read anything. You can't see anything. And he looks at it, and he goes, I don't believe this. And he goes, you know how much this cost? And it looked good under the proper lighting. You know, when you're at your desk and you've got the lamp right over, but when you're standing at the cash register, you can't see anything.
Right, right. Well, that's why we do proofs. That's what I say all the time. That's why we proof, because we would never do a rollout without doing a proof.
And, well, when you say a proof, you don't mean proofreading. You mean testing.
Testing, yeah. Yeah.
Now, last question. Forget about the quality of the paper. Forget about the font size, the color, and all the rest of it. At the end of the day, isn't the most important thing the content and how well
you
it's written?
Yeah, you would hope so, but you also want people to read it. So, I mean, if it's a scientific paper, I mean, or a white paper or something like that, the content is most important. If it's a catalog, then the images are the most important. You know, it depends who your audience is. Certainly the content has to be, you know, what you mean to say. I mean, that's why it takes so long to get these brochures printed, because nobody can understand them. Then we have to go to work and get people to read it. So,
now,
I mean, content, of course, is so important. And I deal with a lot of financial and insurance companies. And when the lawyers get to it,
I'm looking at your brochure, at your newsletter. Now, you have here graphics under IPG Wins Graphic Design USA Awards. You have down examples of your – you have photographs of examples of your work, which goes to – which is obvious. This is what we got an award for. Congratulations, by the way. And
you.
Here you can see it. Then when you're talking about two sides of the paper, you have a graphic of a tree at the bottom and somebody reading – it almost looks like the Kindle logo. Somebody reading a book, and you're talking here about miss of paper as opposed to digital, which is why I came up with the question I asked earlier. And then with the under art and science, which is our topic right now, you have a graphic of someone with their brain all lit up. My point is that this is a good example of how the graphic has to match the content. So you don't really use design. You use images.
Well,
there's
depends,
a little bit of a design
right.
on the page. You have dots. But that aside, what is prevalent are the graphics of people or things that speak to the content. So you have to match them.
Right, right. Yeah, they have to mean something.
Understood.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I want to thank you and tell us how our listeners can get in touch if they have any questions.
Okay. Right.
What's the best way to pitch?
One thing I want to end with is when you drink a glass of wine out of a plastic cup, it doesn't taste as good as when you drink it out of crystal. And that is the, you know, so when you get a beautiful brochure, you read it more. You know, you enjoy it more. Anyway, to get in touch with me, my email is Marilyn, M-A-R-A-L-Y-N, at ipgnyc.net. My phone number is 212-226-9777. And if anybody would like a sample packet of the work that we do or my newsletter, please contact me.
And I highly recommend it because I will tell you, your newsletter is interesting. And this is coming from a guy who usually throws these things away without even thinking about it because they're usually just so poorly written. But yours has a lot of interesting stuff in it, and I look forward to getting the next one.
This is a lot of work, at any rate. But,
okay,
I will start doing
it
right away.
It was boring.
Anyway.
I was just being polite. Don't ever do it again.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure. And this is Bruce Hurwitz. Thank you for listening, and have a safe and prosperous week.